Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Tuesday, August 21st, 2001. In the fireside room is Catherine Cummings Bond. Today's session's number is CQC 2001-02, and it's titled Woman of Strength and Power, Sojourner Truth. Let's listen in.
Sojourner does her presentation. We're going to have a song and a dance from the Reverend Mona Fitch of Camden, New Jersey.
And Ray.
If you all know this song, please join in and help us sing.
By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we were, we remember Zion. By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we were, for the wicked carried us away captivity, required from us a song. How can we sing a holy song in a strange land? For the wicked carried us away captivity, required of us a song. How can we sing a holy song in a strange land? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God.
The first time, you know, we kind of get over our jitters.
But then you stop.
Here we go. Oh.
By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we went, when we remember Zion. By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down,
that you would have heard the slaves singing in the fields or on the Underground Railroad very quietly when they were running. But I wanted us to be acquainting ourselves with some of these songs that we've sung for a long time, but they came a lot of times from the Underground Railroad. So today I want you to meet Sojourner Truth. She is my very, very favorite because she was a preacher. And so, Sojourner Truth, the story. A pillar of fire. The night was filled with stories as Mama and Daddy recounted to us events they had witnessed. My Mama, lost 10 of her children to slavery, and she wept as she told us the story. One snowy winter morning, my 5-year-old brother Michael heard sleigh bells outside and ran out to see what the noise was. But the sleigh had stopped by the front door, and soon his delight turned to horror as they took my little sister Nancy and shut her up in the sleigh. He ran screaming to the cellar to get away when all of a sudden the slave traders had him as well. So my 5-year-old brother and my 4-year-old little sister were kidnapped by the slave traders and taken away from my parents. Such stories like this convulsed in me a sense of dread as I listened and I watched the eerie shadows play on the walls from the fire in front of us. I had learned at an early age that there is no security for the children of slaves. Now, the world that my owner gave me was limited to this dank, dark cellar beneath the tavern above. They put loose boards over oozing mud that would serve as the floor of the slave quarters. Here, men, women, and children would sleep on pallets of straw with a few quilts thrown over them. They would sleep on them together like a pile of puppies. And there we would try to fight off rheumatism and palsy. Well, my mama expanded my world. On clear nights like we have here at Holden, she would take me outside. She and my brother, and we would stand underneath a canopy of stars. And my mama would say to me, she said, "My children, there is a God who sees and hears everything you say and do. When you are cruelly treated, when you are beaten, when you are taken over by an overseer or a master, you can speak to God, and God will hear everything that you say and do. You must ask for God's help. He will always hear you, and God will always help you." Then we knelt together, and we would say the Lord's Prayer. Now, as surely as those fireside sessions kindled in my heart, these starlight sessions kindled in my soul a warmth of faith. Well, my mama's greatest fears for me came true when I was 9 years old and I was put on the auction block and I was sold for $100. You see, I couldn't speak English, and so when they would ask me for a cup, I would bring them a bucket. When they would ask me for a spoon, I would bring them a cup. And therefore, I was cruelly treated. My thin and my bony frame and my lack of feminine charm were the reason for the low price. And then there's one morning that I will never forget. I was taken to the barn. And there in the barn at 9 years old, I had my hands strapped together. And I was whipped until gashes sent blood streaming down my back. The scars of this beating stayed with me for the rest of my life. They were burned into my flesh by the hatred of a white man towards a black slave girl. In the days that followed, my mother's comforting words began to ring true, and God became more of a reality to me. I began to pray for protection, and then I prayed to God for deliverance. And not long after that, my prayers were answered, and I was sold for $105. The new family that bought me, they were simple and honest people. I thrived and I grew strong. At the age of 13, I became transformed from a shy, retiring young girl into a tall and a proud young woman. A nearby plantation owner saw promise in me and bought me for $300. My new owner said that I was better than a man because I could work as hard as 6 men in the day and still do the laundry at night. My mama became very ill, and my daddy returned one day to the cellar, and he found her dead. My mama was dead from toil, from sickness, but mostly from unending grief over the loss of her children to slavery. And my daddy never stopped weeping. And the last time I saw him, he was sitting by the side of the road crying, lost in grief. As a young woman, I never questioned the slave-master relationship. I believed it was ordained by God, because the white folks were always telling me that it was, and they kept quoting scripture, and I would do anything that God told me to do. So I tried as hard as I could to be the best, the most obedient slave I could be. But I came here at night, under this canopy of willow trees, and this is where I talked to God. I had conversations with God every single day. I questioned, I cajoled, and I bargained with my God. I also grew to love a man. His name was Robert. One time Robert came to visit me on the plantation. And I'll tell you, love for a slave was the most wonderful thing on earth. We got to feel it the same way that the master did. We got to feel that love. And this man, Robert, turned my heart. One day he came to visit me, and they carried him off, and they beat him for no reason. I never understood that, except maybe that they wanted me to marry someone else whose name was Thomas. And so I did. And to Thomas, I bore 5 strong children. One crisp morning at 3 a.m., I got up. I took my little baby Sophia, who I was nursing, and I put her in a blanket. And I went and I kissed my 4 children goodbye. Can you imagine what it would be like to kiss your 4 children goodbye? But it was either being a mother to 4 slave children or to be a free woman. And I knew the answer for me. So I kissed them all goodbye, and I said a prayer that God would take care of them, and I fled at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I wasn't out there very far until I knelt down and I said to God, God, you've taken me this far, now you just show me which way I'm supposed to go on this underground railroad. And so I did. I went with a nursing babe at my breast, and I was led to a Quaker family. A kind Quaker family that took me in. But this Quaker family was so different from everything I'd ever known. They were kind to me. I didn't know how to take it. In fact, I was tempted to almost go back to my other slave home because that seemed familiar. That was something that I knew. When all of a sudden something happened to me, God met me. I know it was God. I could feel God. God was burning inside me and all around me and going through me. And I saw that I was wicked. And I saw that this wickedness might burn me up. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice. I did. And it said, I love you. And I knew it was somebody that loved me. And then I knew in my heart for sure this was Jesus. And Jesus had come to me to tell me that he loved me. And I began to feel something that I had never felt in my heart before, ever. And I knew that God loved me in a new way and that my life would be okay. Well, all of a sudden, it stopped. And I looked out and I saw the white folks. And I looked at them and I said, there's the white folks. And they've beat you, and they've abused you, and they've abused your people. Dear God. And then that rush of love came back to me, and I said, dear God, I can love even the white folks. Well, I felt the call. My kerchief, I'm having the worst time with my kerchief. Excuse me just a second here. I had to get ready and just in a rush today. There we go. Well, I felt a call from God to take my message all around the land and to preach and to talk about this love of God. So So I traveled, and I thought about my name. You know, we slaves couldn't keep our names. We went to a new master, we got a new name. So I knelt down again and I said, God, you are my last master, and your name is Truth. And I plan to travel the country, and so Sojourner Truth will be my name. I named myself until the day I die, and so it was. Well, I could not read. It always embarrassed me. But I was quite an orator. I would often go places, and I would get up in the pulpit, and I would start to preach. And people would sometimes throw rocks. Sometimes they would hurl ugly things at me, but it didn't stop me from preaching. I always preached from the same text, and I called it When I Found Jesus. I had most of the Bible committed to memory. I could just start talking in the Gospels and just talk my way through them. Sometimes people thought that I was making it up, that I really could read, but I wish I could read, and I wish I could write, but I was never taught. They didn't let slaves read and write because they thought that we would then figure out that slavery wasn't a good place. So they kept that away from us. Well, my wanderings took me all over the country. The country was seething with unrest. Slavery was being hotly debated on all quarters. Also, women's rights were being pushed onto center stage. Freedom burned in my soul, and I added my voice to the causes for blacks and for women. You see, I was, after all, a black woman made steel by the searing white heat of slavery, and then made compassionate by the tempering fire of Christ's love. Well, my persistent proclamations about slavery made me have a throng of friends, but many more enemies, who marshaled all their hatred and unleashed it my way. I was beaten with clubs many times. I was pelted with stones more than the Apostle Paul. But I kept fighting. The last election before I died was in 1868. And I marched right down and got in line with the white men. I just stood there. They said a lot of things to me as I stood there. You can't vote. And other much ugly things. But I just walked forward and forward. And they said, what is your name? And I said, Sojourner Truth is my name. And they said, you can't vote. Because I was a black woman. So I left. Election day, I went right back down there, stood in line again. I waited. A lot of things were said to me. Got to the front, and they said, you can't vote. This is the point. I kept a fighting and a trying for what I believed in until the day I died. And the great Sojourner Truth did die. She died in 1883 at age 86. She died at 3 o'clock in the morning, the exact same time she'd taken Sophia in her arms and left on her Underground Railroad trip to freedom. A friend came to comfort Sojourner the last days of her life, and Sojourner said to her, honey, I ain't gonna die. I'm going home like a shooting star. And that's exactly what she did. She went home and she talked to God again about all the questions she had for him. And someday, you and I will meet her there. I can't wait to meet the great Sojourner Truth. The end. Do you have any questions for Sojourner? Any children's question or any adult's question I'd love to answer.
How did she name her baby Sophia?
Yes, she did. She had four boys and a girl, uh-huh. And she left her boys, and she was greatly criticized, as you can well imagine. But for her, living a slave for about 30 years at that point, she decided that was worth the cost.
See, now we're finding out about Sophia.
Right.
As witness.
Right.
And really God.
Right. Which she had a lot of. They talk about her going to clergy men's gatherings, and that she would sit on the ground. They wouldn't even let her sit in a pew. She would sit on the ground and listen, and sometimes women would come and say, "Let Sojourner speak." And she would blow them out of the tub. I mean, they would just, I mean, when she would speak, when you read the quotes, although she could not write herself, people would wrote down what she said. She was absolutely brilliant. She was a genius, and she was this quick. I mean, they would insult her, and she would just turn it back graciously into something that was so quick and witty, it's mind-boggling. She was amazing, a very tall woman. And the story goes, although I've read it's not necessarily true, and Mona and I were talking about it a few days ago on our hike, the story goes that she did this talk called Ain't I a Woman?
Yeah.
And whether it's true or not, I'm not exactly sure, I was not there, but that she opened up her blouse to prove that she was a woman in the pulpit when she was talking, that she couldn't be a woman because she was too well-spoken. She couldn't be a woman because she was too strong, because she was too brilliant to be a woman. And so she just undid her blouse and ain't I a woman. I don't know if she did that or not, but I love the idea that she might have. Yes. Yes, she got to see her sons again, and they all became close to her where she lived, and she was reunited, right?
So what happened to Sophia?
Pardon?
What happened to Sophia?
You know, unfortunately, because we know so little about slaves and they weren't valued that much, we don't have much record. About Sojourner Truth, we have more records. And, you know, people have done doctorates on her in the last 25 years. She and Harriet are now being taught to these children in schools, but we never heard about it. And in my opinion, Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth are 10 times more courageous, important than George Washington. I mean, you read about some of the things. I mean, this is courage. This is what really, I mean, not that I'm putting down George Washington, but some of the folks that I learned about didn't have nearly the integrity, the courage, the chutzpah, the, you know, unbelievable strength that women like this did. So we don't know a lot about her children. I would love to get to go to her birthplace. And there's a museum. And get to find out more about her. But the things I've read, we know something about, but they kind of lost touch. Yes?
Like Susan B. Anthony and some of the women suffragists worked as a group.
Right.
Did she have a group?
Yes. And she actually, Sojourner met Harriet, and she, Harriet had more dealings with Susan B. Anthony and
Elizabeth Cady.
Yes. She dealt with them.
No, I was going to ask the exact same thing.
Oh, good. You know, you might know more than I. What I love to do this is to meet little African-American girls that know more than I do. It just doesn't embarrass me. It makes me happy that they know these women so well. And what amazing role models. Yes?
You said, you know, they didn't keep much track of slaves, but Sophia would not have been a slave.
Correct.
Because she left...
She would have been freed. But you know, they didn't keep much track of freed slaves either. Right.
Even the long way.
That's right. We didn't know a lot.
Wasn't she a big instigator in the slave railroad? I mean, that's what I have read, or maybe I'm wrong.
No, she was a participant in the railroad, but she wasn't like Harriet in terms of being a leader and a conductor.
No, but what I'm saying, she was involved deeply.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
And that's how she got her children out?
Yes, exactly right. You have done some reading. Good for you. Good for you. It's a wonderful... You know, when we're feeling sorry for ourselves or we feel like we've got a tough life, I say go to the library and read up on Sojourner.
Well, did she get her sons out?
Yes.
Then also?
Yes. Her children all became freed people. Question.
Dad, when you said she did not speak English, does that mean she was stolen in Africa?
Dutch. Yes.
They did Dutch.
Right. She spoke Dutch. Have you all seen Amistad? Because if you've not seen it, I really recommend it. I believe that Steven Spielberg's gifts to the world are Schindler's List and Amistad. And Amistad got no, am I right? They got no Emmys, Oscars. No Oscars at all. It's a hard movie to see, but I'll tell you what, our kids have seen it, and we got it on video and stopped it and talked about it. There's that one haunting scene, you know which one I'm talking about, when she goes in the water, and they just, there's a few haunting scenes you'll never forget, but it's a very true portrayal of what slave ships were like. Just unbelievable. So if you've not seen it, you need to definitely see it, and you need to have your grandchildren see it, or your nieces and nephews see it, and sit with them, and talk to them, and answer questions so that we don't forget. It is amazing. Yes?
You were mentioning her, when she would speak and be questioned, and are there any source books that we could read, you know, and get a sense of her intellect?
Yes. I've not checked your library if you have them in there, but there are books about her. Most of them are done for young readers, 13, 14-year-old, but those are great source books. And there's a book written about her life that has the most direct quotes from her.
Okay.
And I have a couple. I'm sorry I didn't bring. And I forgot to bring another thing that I love is quilting. You see me quilting around. And the way that they found maps for the Underground Railroad was they couldn't write.
Through the quilting.
Right. They would quilt them into quilts. Mm-hmm. How to get there. And so when people would think, oh, these African American folks are really into quilts. No, they were studying the map. And it was called, the book I'm reading is a recent doctoral study called Hidden in Plain View. And that's how people would know. The Underground Railroad, they would have lights in the windows, and the code was friend. If, you know, they would knock on the door and say, who's here? A friends. And that's why the Quakers are called the friends, because they were the backbone of the Underground Railroad. Another piece of information that's true, I used to be Presbyterian, and Philadelphia was the line where the slaves would stop. And the reason that was true was Presbyterians were in the South, and the Congregationalists were in the North. And if you were a slave and you went to a Congregational church, it was base, it was free. They couldn't touch you. Slave traders could not walk into a Congregational church. So it was interesting that literally was the line, Presbyterians, slaves, Congregationalists, free. So it's interesting. There was one man in Philadelphia who was a white cobbler, and if you were a slave and you would go to him, he would make you a new pair of shoes. And most slaves had never had a new pair of shoes. Many of them did the Underground Railroad in the winter in bare feet or rags wrapped around their feet, or maybe if they had one pair of shoes, they would share them. They would share shoes amongst everybody. Yes?
Well, no, was she the one who was a slave in a Dutch family?
Yes.
In New York?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's the reason she got beaten.
That's
so
right.
Because she wouldn't.
Because she didn't know English.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Yes, Jennifer.
How did she look at your sons? Do you know?
How did she look at her sons?
No, locate them.
Locate them. Well, I think that as everything back then, it was people would come and say, have you heard tell of my son? Although it was hard because usually last names would change. So they would come and say, Harriet, they couldn't write letters to one another. So it was verbal. Have you heard tell of my son? And so about the 10 years before she was had them with her, around her, she would just ask everyone she would see, do you have news for me about my family? And that's what happened. I mean, we just disintegrated the families. Just took them apart. Yes?
How did she learn English, and then how did she learn the Bible?
Well, English she learned because obviously she was incredibly bright. And she picked it up. as I mean, it was her second language, because people would talk it around her, and for her survival, you know, if you're going to get beaten when you speak Dutch, you better learn English. And you know, I would love to see like an IQ test of Sojourner Truth, because if she were educated, imagine what she could have done. She knew the Bible. She talked about the Bible and preached from it constantly, and had never once read a word. She'd just hear it, and she would remember it. And she was just so articulate and bright. I would give, if I could do anything on earth to go back to a time in history, I would give anything to sit and hear Sojourner preach. That would be for me even as exciting as meeting Jesus, just to hear Sojourner preach. And you know, every time she preached, she got tomatoes thrown at her, rocks thrown at her, and she just kept preaching the Word of God. Can you imagine? I mean, she loved God that much. Never was married. And just, I mean, she was married to Thomas, who they made her marry. But after that, she just saw that she was a preacher, and she used to travel the land, and she walked everywhere she went. And addressed, this has 6 yards. I just finished it. It took me forever. She would travel in this or one that was even bigger. Question.
Do you know who found her more threatening, men or just white people in general? You know, I mean, do women not like her?
Well, you know, I'm sorry to say that women have not been good to, we've not been good to each other historically. When you hear me do Eleanor tomorrow, Eleanor was against women's right to vote. Eleanor, of all people. But you know, then when she became more active, she began, you know, what am I thinking? But white women had a lot better than black women. So my guess is she got grief from everybody. And she got grief from slaves, because you know, they said, don't rock the boat. Mm-hmm. Sometimes oppressed people can be really ugly to their own, to the leaders. Mm-hmm. I know about that. So she got grief from everywhere, but nothing deterred her. She was just eye on the prize. I'm going to speak about God's love to and the rights of women and the rights of slaves. And I love these pictures of her with Abraham Lincoln and the quotes. There's really only two pictures on all my studies I've ever find of her, and it's this one, and there's one more picture, but this is the only one that you really ever see her in. Here's the other one. Thank you for coming, and may your hearing of Sojourner Truth make you that passionate about what you're supposed to do in your life. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.